I'm the town lady here.
Good evening, everybody. The Rocket Dock is up for renewal again. I think everyone has a copy of the outline for this year for what you've seen in the past. The number of participants was this year, I think, 41 participants. The numbers are breaking down similar to, you can see the column with the number of days that people actually spent versus the number that would be expected, the number of days saved. And then the last line would be per inmate, had they stayed in, the total amount of time that would be expected. This year, the participation was up from last, so the savings is a little bit better this year than it has been, definitely compared to last year.
Where are we getting this 264 days that we're expected each one of them to stay?
Typically, what we looked at is how long we expect a case to take in circuit court before it would get resolved. So that would be the number of days that we would expect them to be in jail with county taxpayers footing the bill for that inmate every day that they're there. As a general rule, most of the cases that would qualify for the Rocket Docket are about 9 months, about 260 days. That's where that comes from.
Well, we was talking about the cost of this. We was running like 150, 160 in the jail. Now, like tonight, we only had 101 or something like that. So really, it's not costing taxpayers. We've got the same faculty down there taking care of that many as we did 150 and 160.
If you break it down to per inmate, it still costs on an inmate that's been charged with a felony by the grand jury. Before they're convicted, before they're sentenced, the county taxpayers pay for that inmate. So each inmate that's in prior to a felony sentence being or felony judgment being entered, it does cost the county taxpayers money. There may be fewer than previously, but each inmate still does cost the county taxpayers per day for being there.
Well, I'm satisfied it costs for meals and stuff like that, but what I'm saying, where we used to run 150 and 160 in jail, now we're running, about 110 most of the time, if that much. I mean, we've got room for that much. You know what I'm saying?
The Rocket Docket's working if we're running less people. Or at least I would think that was one factor in it. The bail statutes being adjusted in the last session of the General Assembly has had some impact on the number of inmates. So there have been some factors that work toward, I think, the numbers you're seeing.
The reason I'm asking questions, I'm getting a lot of havoc from people that, well, for one instance, this guy broke in his place, stole some stuff, and the next evening he's standing there looking him in the face. You know, and this guy was pretty disturbed, and I would have been too.
If in a situation like that where you've got a crime committed, sheriff's office responds, they arrest someone, and the very next day they're out, that means they made bail. That doesn't have anything to do with the Rocket Docket. There's nothing. That just means somebody was either able to post their bail in cash or property or their bond was something they could get out. That wouldn't, I can see the question, but that's not this. That's just.
Well, I guess I'm from the old school, but I think if you do the crime, you need to do the time. I mean, that's just me. I'm the old fashioned, I guess, but there's gotta be a penalty to pay when somebody does something. I mean, if you go down there and they say, well, here, you know, we're gonna put you right back out here.
A lot of that does with bond. On the Rocket Docket case, we don't have anything to do with bond, for instance. Kevin's office doesn't set bond. My office doesn't set bond.
I understand that.
So the bail issues, I don't know what to tell you.
But the Rocket Docket is set up to get people out quicker. I mean, that's...
Yes, and here's how we've talked about that in the past. So, for instance, if there's a case where someone breaks into your house, they would be eligible for the Rocket Docket, maybe. And what we do is then we call those people and talk to the actual victims to make sure that they're okay with it. In a case where we've got an identifiable victim, somebody that's been a victim of a theft or burglary, If they say no, then we don't make an offer. If they say they're on board with it, then we discuss with that person what they think that they're happy with. That's where we go. But if the actual victim says no, we don't do it.
Well, to me now, this is the feeling that I get reading, I'm asking questions. It feels like me we're spending the taxpayer dollars to help the criminal. I mean, really, basically what it, I mean, that's the way the issue appears to me, you know, really. You're trying to get them out of jail so you won't spend as much time in jail and save money in jail. And like I said, we was running 150 and 60, and now we're running 110, so we got plenty of faculty to take care of them down there.
You've probably got the facility and the people to help take care of them. I think it would be whether on something like a drug possession case, whether that's the best way, whether you guys as a fiscal court believe that's the best way to spend the taxpayers' money. If you would rather have somebody, because you can see most of these are
right.
75% of drug possession cases.
Yeah, I saw that.
And frankly, those are going to be, since the statutes changed to bring the penalties down on drug possession a few years ago, we're not looking at long prison sentences anyway. That went away when the Controlled Substances Act got changed.
Yeah, I understand that part. I don't know. It may just be me. People chatting with me. Derek, do you ever hear anything?
Huh?
Do you ever hear anything?
Oh, I thought you stopped talking to me.
I mean, Derek's out there every day.
Bobby, I was wanting to ask Bobby, how many didn't you say that you had a 36 inmates from Albany and Clinton County right now?
Two.
I got two from Clinton County right now.
Okay. All right.
I had 36 Russell County inmates.
Okay.
Yeah. I said two Clinton County and 36. So,
and a total. And a total of 100 and something.
101, probably 102.
Yeah, that's what I've got down, 101. But before, normally you have 130. I know here a while back that you didn't even have beds to put them in.
Well, I still ain't got beds to put them
in. Well,
Yeah, what it was, what Stevie's referring to is when we was housing 130 to 140 to 150 to 160, 170. There was a big early release impact. Came down at a different time. That's where the law changes so much, and you'll see so many start being released early and stuff like that. I remember House Bill 463 came down in 2012. It really hurt the big jails, didn't hurt the little jails as much, and I explained that to you all then.
Yeah.
We did come to this point where we had a lot of inmates, and then they started doing a lot of early release. We see a lot going to rehab now. We see a lot going to SAP programs. I sent two to SAP programs today. It's the Rocket Dock to speedy trial. And one thing I know is, and I understand everybody's concern with what they're saying in these cases. These are nonviolent cases right here. They're felony cases, but nonviolent. Every time there's a rocket docket that comes through, there is conditions put on that by the Commonwealth. And so that means they may, if they're a low risk right from the start, don't have a lengthy record, they're going to be given a second chance, but with conditions of probation. So now, if they break that probation, now if they've got a lengthy record, or let's say a medium record, okay, they're probably going to go ahead and get sentenced. Or they're probably going to take a deal, they're going to become a state inmate right then. If they break their probation, the conditions of their probation, they're going to come back and they're going to face the penalty. They're going to be turned from a county inmate, non-paying, to a state inmate, which is paying. And so that is what it is. There's no violent offenders allowed this case right here. And I know he turned one down the other day, and I agree 100% with him for turning one down the other day. I have the paperwork right here that this guy is, even though his charges were more low risk, he had a high risk. And so, and he turned him down, said we're not going to give him, offer him the Rocky Docket. And so, but I mean, as far as the numbers going down, bonds have went down considerably from what they used to be due to the what happens in Frankfort, you know. And so we've seen bonds become more doable, but we've also seen those that cannot start to make a bond, and they have their low risk felony offenses, and they're offered the Rocky Docket. And so, but the Rocky Docket does not come without conditions, and there's no way, I just want to clear this up, there's no way that somebody could be out, be in jail one day for breaking and entering, and the next day be out, and the Rocky Docket have anything to do with it. They bonded out.
Well, I don't know about that part, whether that had anything to do with it. But is this Rocky Docket, is this a thing that tries to get things clarified before they go to the grand jury, or before you have to wait for the grand jury? Well, don't the grand jury meet every month? Well, then, where's this 264 days coming from?
That would be the amount of time that they would be in, that we would expect that they would be in, from from the indictment by the grand juries.
Okay, you're suspecting that the grand jury's going to indict them.
If in Kentucky, unless somebody agrees to waive the grand jury, they have to go through the grand jury. If that, so, in these cases, if somebody's indicted by the grand jury up to the resolution of their case,
yeah, it's not
that we would expect if they did not participate in the Rocky Docket,
I wouldn't do that
to take about 264 days. That's on average for these kinds of cases. That's the average length of time that it takes.
If you have an inmate that chooses a Rocky Docket, and whether he serves his time out and as an upstanding parole person and whatnot, that's fine. But if he violates that, is he eligible for this anymore?
It depends on the offense, typically, no. Frankly,
one and done is what I'm trying to say.
Let's say, like, you've got a possession offense. Somebody has got any more, it's just meth. People haven't met. With situations like that, if they get picked up again for meth, then basically we double their sentence, which makes it harder to get around. Generally speaking, we don't make more than Rocky Docket.
On this list here, you've got 40 names thereabout, and there's 30 of them that's been probated. Some of them has spent 6 days and then been probated. Do you think if they went in front of a judge, it would be about the same outcome? They'd still be probated?
As a general rule, yes.
Probably.
It would be. It's just then the length of time that it takes. Master John, it's a good question, because we're trying to get to the result that we expected that they're going to get. So if somebody's convicted of possession, which is almost all of
them, all of them.
Then, and if they, after 6 or 8 months, plead guilty. Today, if somebody was arraigned in circuit court this morning, they got a pretrial conference set in like 3 or 4 months, they won't be back to court. So unless they make bail, they're going to sit in jail with the county taxpayers paying for it until they get back to court. The likelihood of them entering a plea the next time is still pretty low. But on the drug possession cases especially, the judge almost always probates.
Yeah. The only thing I see, some of them is 5 or 6 days and then they're out probated. If they're on drugs, they don't have time to get off or whatever, in 5 days they're just sick, I guess, when they get out and
in those cases, what you see is when somebody's probated, they've got a probation officer. They've got to go see that person that day or the next day. At that point, then they start getting drug tested. So anything happens before that, they're not drug tested. There's nobody that they're accountable to. After they enter a plea, when you see that person, especially like with treatment, that's, we've been trying to move, especially with possession cases, to get people to treatment and hopefully get people clean. But prior to the plea, there's no accountability to anybody.
Yeah.
After the plea, They're accountable to, they've got to meet with their probation officer, they got to get drug tested. Most of the time, they're required to have employment. If we get violation reports, then we can file motions to revoke their probation, and then they've got to answer to Judge Minyard for that.
The price on this deal here, the $1,000 we give the guys that was here before you, if it had one person, it'd be cheap, wouldn't it?
The $1,000?
That we give the people for the rehab place.
I totally agree with the assessment that they're trying to do something good for the people, they're trying to help people.
Well, like I say, if it had one person, it'd be a money-saving project what this here is.
The position you're in, you have seen it from day one. Is this a program that you could see that has helped Russell County? We're in charge of spending everybody's money. Tell me this has helped.
I think it has. I mean, so if you've got, like Master Johnson said, if you've got one or two people on this list, let's say somebody that went to drug court, there's one on this list I can pick out, and I'm not going to say whose name it is, but they're about my age, almost 50, and have never really not been addicted. And as of today, they'll probably graduate drug court the next 3 months. And so, did that help? I think so, for two reasons. Number one, it helped that person, and that person is now not going to be needing to steal from their neighbors to support a drug addict. They've got a job. They don't have a drug addict. They own a car that they'll pay taxes on. They rent a place to live that they pay rent to the landlord. They're up to date on all their utility bills. So it does help. It's not perfect. It doesn't help every time. There will be people on this list that will violate the conditions of their probation, maybe tomorrow, and they'll have to go to prison. But for the most part, we see success with people getting treatment, getting help, and number one, it saves the taxpayers money. Number two, and I think more importantly, folks like the person I'm talking about, unless something bad happens in their lives, they're not going to be a criminal anymore. They're not out looking to steal from people. Derek's not going to have to deal with them walking down the middle of Main Street in Russell Springs, big and wild at 3 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. So that's one less person that's out committing offenses against the other people in the county. And if we can get 10 of those, that's 10 less. And the rest of them, if they don't make it, they just got to do their time.
Well, I think sometimes lose thought of what we got a jail for, that's for people who breaks the law. You know, that's just my opinion. I guess I'm old-fashioned, but.
You asked me for my opinion a while ago, Steve. My opinion is, like I said, I know it's supposed to save money for the county. I know Matthew's been doing it for a long time, stuff, but, you know, while I was out here and sitting in the public, you know, people as tired of the drug traffickers in their neighborhoods. People, we see it all the time. They arrest them. They get arrested on a Class D felony for trafficking in methamphetamine. They're released on armed recognizance. They'll appear in court the next day. That's during this COVID mess when all that started. Very aggravating for law enforcement to have to deal with that all the time, I'll tell you. I know it's very frustrating for the people of this county that lives in the neighborhoods that this continues to go on. And the majority of the people in these neighborhoods that has to sit there and watch that all the time, they want a jury trial done. They want to see something done in them out of their neighborhood. Point blank, that's my opinion.
I've got some people in my neighborhood right close that's talked to me about it, and they, you know, like I say, they ain't, I don't know if they fully understand it or whatever, but they're not happy with it.
What Derek's referencing though is a bond.
Yeah.
That's not this. And Master Johnson,
I think a lot of them's crossing that up, maybe, you know.
I think the one that you may be talking about was a bond issue.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
And they were indicted by the grand jury the next time.
Yeah.
essentially all we're talking about here, we're paying a salary or whatever to your office, benefit.
Not to me.
Well, to Frankfurt, it funds back.
Right, our victims advocate and our secretary who bear the, really the extra workload, that's who, that's where the, when they've got extra work that they're having to do, that's what.
But what I'm getting at, this amount we pay, whatever it might be, is benefits and all, $34,000.
It's 30, that's all he gets. And that's handed down by.
Hopefully, and, you know, we've had them show us before, you know, by getting some of these people expedited pleading, being state inmates, it's generating more money back to us through the county than what we're paying out. And if it's not, we don't need to do it. That's what I look at, you know, that's. What do you think, Bobby? Is it generating more back to us?
Judge, I don't put those numbers on here because those aren't on here because I can't, I don't have the ability to calculate those because I don't know exactly.
The ones that plead early, once they plead guilty, we start drawing on.
Once they plead and go back in, then yeah, they pay, but those numbers aren't on here.
Yeah, and if they don't plead, and they're county inmates until they're prosecuted, we keep them fed and everything, but there's no money coming from the state on. That's what I was trying to make that point.
And we just received a $4 per diem per day increase per state inmate starting July the 1st. And that helps us keep the cost down. I think I run some numbers today.
What is it now, 34 or something?
No, it's 35. It used to be 31, 34. And so the thing I don't think y'all, I want to put in this right here is that on state inmates, this is the whole package of state inmates, our classes and stuff that we do. Let's say programs like House Bill 556, state inmates. House Bill 452, and then ARFA. We collected $824,645.52 in 21-22. We collected this revenue because we house state inmates. This doesn't include the allotment I gave y'all tonight. We wouldn't be getting that if we wasn't housing state inmates. The corrections assistance, these programs that we have now are programs only for state inmates. And so we would not receive this $824,645.52 if we were not housing state inmates. And so another little rundown I've done today of the 63 inmates that I were housing right now, 36 of them, I went literally personally. I do most of my own transports and I hauled them in, drive thousands of miles just because I stay in contact with a lot of other jails. I believe 15, of the other 29, 15 of them has somewhere along the way come through the Rocky docket, either an accepted plea and become a state inmate then, or they messed up somewhere along the way and their probation was revoked and they became. I went ahead and told it up as the 35, 34. It comes up to those 15 come up to $15,903 monthly, $190,836 yearly, approximately.
What do you think it would cost to keep a county inmate in jail?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Stevie, there's a formula you can use. It is a very deep formula. I could probably sit down and use it again, but I'm going to have to take
it. What would be your guesstimation? You've got a guess.
Well, I'll be honest with you. If I was guessing right now, food's going to cost me $5 and something a day. We feed them 3 meals a day. Water bill is going to be $4,500 a month. electricity's gonna be.
I know, you've got some idea within $3 or $4 of what an inmate would.
I've tried to figure it, it's pretty hard to do, because you got to figure your payment, you got to figure the help, you got to figure, there's a lot of things.
I figured it one time, but I don't know that I got it right.
Maintenance on the building.
Literally, you can ask every jailer, and they ain't ever figured the formula out. They'll guess at, well, $12, $14. You know, if I was guessing, I'm gonna say $15 to $18, but I doubt it. I might be too. It's gonna cost, the electric bill, you shoot that out, because that electric bill's gonna be there, okay? Water bill might come down a little bit, or it's gonna increase if we have more inmates. Food bill's gonna increase if we have more inmates. So it's gonna decrease if we have less. But gas bill's gonna be the same. A lot of things factor in there, and you got to figure the payment that we have, the yearly payment and the interest we have to pay. It's literally take a very smart person to do this formula, but it's out there, and I tried it once, and I think I came up with, and I sure don't know if I was right or not, but I did sit down one day, and I done that formula, and I told y'all about it a few years ago. I think I come up with about $16 or something like that.
Kevin, what do you think about the program? Is it good or not?
Well, I think that what I've seen from it is it helps our two offices from the standpoint we have a lot of communication. You know, we both share staff members, and it provides us an opportunity to, you know, when people come in on particular charges, I probably have them on something else myself. They're very good to cross-reference cases. You know, again, what I've heard, I've had the same complaints, but it's not a Rocket Docket issue, guys, it's a mail issue. The biggest hit come from Kentucky legislature, House Bill 463. It changed our whole mindset on bonds. I was given bonds on a possession. I was recommended bonds on possession control substance first degree, $50,000 cash, until that come through.
Now what is it?
A surety.
Right.
$2,500 surety.
It's low risk, yeah.
So again, I don't disagree with I agree with everybody. But the fact of the matter is, yeah, I mean, Matthew suffers the same burden I have. I don't always get it right.
Yeah, well, no.
I don't always make a recommendation that's right. But the problem is that the cards on bail is stacked against us. You know, so again, to what you all are fearful of, I don't think it's going to make a hill of beans of difference regarding whether or not on people are getting out early or not. Listen, these folks are going to get out. They're already. You know, the good part about it is, if you'll notice, there's about half or more than half are either getting treatment or drug court. And I've went down while everybody's been talking and checked. You know, you said one, right? One would be worth $1,000 if you
changed.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the drug rehab.
Right,
if you have to
right.
Yeah.
Well, here's about, I can count, I'm not going to say the names, I've counted about 12. That I know that are on a better path because they got into treatment. Now, there's 40 something on here, so you can do the math just as well as I can. There's others that may not hit that, right? Yeah. And that's our biggest thing, recidivism, right? Is people continuing to do bad things. Drug court doesn't always take on everybody, right? You're not 100% on drug court. You're not 100% on that. So again, yes, there's going to be particular complaints on all of this, but it takes everybody, you know, law enforcement, us, the bail. But the problem is that, you know, one thing we can't fight over, to be frank with you, is the bail. And to be frank with you, the judges are fussing about it too. You know,
I think at the end of the day, what really matters and what's important is the
people
don't understand it exactly. And at the end of the day, the taxpayers is footing the bill. They don't understand it. I'm not saying all of them don't agree with it. I'm telling you some don't, because they voiced their opinion to me. I'm sure they have you too. But at the end of the day, they're paying the bill. It's their money, the taxpayer.
We need to decide if we're gonna renew his contract for another year on this Rocket Docket. And it's the will of the court. I hear a motion, we approve it again, or does it die due to lack of motion?
I'll make the motion to do it, because I think it's a good thing.
Motion, Master.
Before you ask for the second, simply what you just said right there, you know, some of them, 12 of them was going. Well, you got those in the court, if you can help them. This man here says worth $1,000, you know, for one. You say that you put them in here and offer this to them, and the quicker they take the plea, then it comes where we don't have to pay for it. I mean, to me, it's a no-win situation, because the bail situation ain't going to change whether we take the Rocket Docket or not.
So, I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Second by Magistrate Waddell. Call the roll, please.
Magistrate Johnson.
No.
Magistrate Waddell.
Yes.
Magistrate Holt.
Yes.
Magistrate Garner.
Yes.
And Magistrate Richardson.
No.
Okay, 3-2, it passes for another year of the Rocket Docket.
Thank you all.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next we've got our first reading